The world is too much with us, late and soon. Getting and spending, we lay waste our powers. Those are the words of William Wordsworth, the English poet, as he described the way that people were living in his day. I'd say the corollary to that is the way that we live in our day. And we could still say the world is too much with us. But I really think it's better to say it another way. Heaven is not too much with us. Not much. Not much. If we'd gone west with the pioneers in the days of moving west, young man, go west. If you'd done that and you'd built a log cabin, drafty in the cold in the winter, warm and hot in the summer, you tried to scratch out a living from just a few acres, and if you had knocking on your door the hand of death on that simple rudimentary cabin that you had, the knock of the hand of death. And if you had beside that little cabin seven graves for seven little children, you had 10, but seven of them died. You worked from sun up to sundown. Life didn't offer much in the way of entertainment and or joy or hope. It would have been easy for you to go down to that little country church building and sing the songs of heaven and to say, I see it. I want it. I want to be there. For if the earth holds struggles for you, it's easy to say, it's easier just to quit the earth and go to heaven and say, there is a land that's fairer than day. And by faith, we can see it afar. It's pretty easy for heaven to be a real goal, to be a real destination when there's struggles. But heaven is not too much with us today. Listen to what Paul said when he wrote to the church at Corinth. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, he said, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived the joy God has prepared for those who love Him. That's a beautiful verse. It's an encouraging verse, but it faces us with another perspective of life. Something called heaven. But heaven is not too much with us today. Not much. John, when he writes in Revelation, he sketches heaven. You heard a portion of it read just now. And he sketches it in symbolic, metaphorical terms, but yet it's very real. It's very concrete. The first thing John says, he said, now here are the things that you are not going to see in heaven. They're not going to be there. Revelation 21, verse 4, John says, and He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. One of the most difficult things to do in ministering to people is helping them sometimes through their tears. And I don't mean just the eye tearing up. I'm talking about what the Bible describes as that uncontrollable wailing, that weeping that comes from within and just seems like there's no end to it, that sometimes life brings that to us. It's very difficult to know what to do to help someone when that's taking place. John says it's not going to be in heaven. There'll be no tears in their eyes. The hospital room, at the cemetery, the nursery. No tears. There won't be, John said, any mourning. Used to, people would walk around after a death and they always wore black. It was a sign of mourning, and the widow would wear black, and everyone knew as long as she was wearing black, she was still in grief. John said, not going to be any grief in heaven. No more reason to wear black. It's just not going to be there. No reason for a downcast face. No pain. Don't look for pain in heaven. Have you ever looked at people writhing on their hospital beds in agony? You know about pain. Larry, Sarah, y'all know about pain. John says, not going to be any pain in heaven. You've taken everything you can take that the doctor can give to you that's supposed to knock the pain, but yet the pain's still there. You still hurt. John said, don't look for that in heaven. Not going to be any pain there. Then he said, there'll be no more death. No funeral coaches rumbling through the streets of gold. No traffic stopped with the men standing there with their hands over their heart as a funeral coach goes by. No cars driving behind with their headlights on, showing that it's a funeral procession. No journey to the graveside. No standing over it. No looking down into Mother Earth. John said, that's all gone. Not going to be there. Sadducees had a problem, Matthew chapter 22. They had a problem with what they thought they were going to see. Sadducees been listening to the Pharisees, and Sadducees said, we don't believe what they believe. We don't think what the Pharisees think. They think there's going to be life after death. They think there's going to be a heaven. We don't believe that. So they came to Jesus and they set him up. They presented this scenario to him. They said, this so-called heaven you talk about. They said, what about a woman in a very hypothetical way, hypothetical situation? What if a woman has been married to seven men? She has no children, absolutely no children. Nobody has a prior claim to her. They said, so what's going to happen when they get to heaven? How are you going to work all that out? One woman, seven husbands, how can you be happy there? How can there not be jealousy, fussing, bickering, fighting? How's that going to all work out? Jesus looked at them and he said the same thing to them. He would say to us today, he said, you don't know the Scripture. He said, don't you know? The Scripture says you're neither going to marry or be given in marriage in heaven. It's a totally, completely different type of experience. And then Jesus said, you not only don't know the Scripture, you don't know the power of God. He said, you stand around down here and you say, I can't figure that out. And I got to be honest with you this morning. I can't figure it out either. Can you? How we're going to be happy if there's folks that we love that aren't there? Jesus' answer was, you're leaving out the power of God. God's got it worked out. God's got it figured out. And he said, it's going to be okay. It's going to be good. When you get to heaven, what you will see is none of the things that you have worried about in this life down here. He said, they won't be there. Well, what will be there? John says, well, I can tell you a little bit about what you're going to see. And the first thing he does He starts out in Revelation chapter 21, and he says, first from a distance, he said, you're going to see a vista, a view. He says, as you're approaching, you're going to see heaven. What do you see? Oh, some would say, it ought to be beautiful mountains and streams and valley and snow upon the mountaintops and sunshine shining. No. No, John says, that's not what you're going to see. He said, you are going to see a city. A city. Abraham said in Hebrews chapter 11, or Hebrews chapter 11 says of Abraham, he went out looking for a city whose maker and builder is God. John says, you're going to see a city. The holy city of God. And what is it you're going to see when you see the city? He said, you're going to see, before you enter, you're going to see the walls. The walls are made of precious material. And he said that city, from a distance, it's going to be as long as it is wide, as it is tall. Someone, mathematician one time, figured it out. He said, if you take the number of miles involved in the descriptions, the measurements that are given here in Revelation, he said, you'll have square footage of 33 billion square feet. 33 billion. That's just the image. The reality is going to be better than that. But that's the best he could figure out with the measurements and details he was given. John said, you'll look from a distance and you're going to see those walls. And at the bottom, he said, you're going to see the foundation. The foundation is going to be of emerald and sapphire. And precious stones are going to surround it. Everything there rests on precious stones. Things that we on earth thought were so valuable. And they're just the foundation for the city walls in heaven. John says, the streets, they're paved with gold, translucent, pure, beautiful, priceless gold. And the streets are paved with it. Last Sunday evening, Andrew topped the preacher with a story, and he talked to you about the fellow that was going to heaven. And he wanted to take something. He's a wealthy man. He said, I'm going to take something with me when I go. They said, you can't do it. He said, well, I'm going to. I need to be allowed to take something. And so finally, in this story, they said, you can take one suitcase. Whatever you get in that suitcase, you can take it to heaven. And so the rich man filled his suitcase with gold. And when he got up there, they opened it up. And the heavenly being said, you brought paving material to pave the streets with? The things that we hoarded in this life, we put them in Fort Knox. We hid them under the bed. We held on to it saying, I'm holding this for security in case the economy falls. John said, over there you're going to walk on it. It's cheap as asphalt. Here it's valuable. But over there, he said, it's just paving. And as you look down the streets of gold in the middle of the city, you're going to see the throne of God. And God's going to be sitting on it. As you draw closer, you're going to see God sitting on it. And there's the tree of life,
It's like the Garden of Eden again, the tree of life. If you eat of it, you'll live forever. And it's all there, right there in the center, in the middle of this wonderful city. Then as you draw closer, you begin to turn corners in the city and you see things that are really personal to you. Personal. At this point, it's just been majestic. It's just been beautiful, but now it's about to get personal. And as you continue your tour, Matthew chapter 6, you'll remember Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust don't corrupt, thieves don't break through and steal. And you walk into this room and it is your treasure room. Yours. There's no gold. There's no silver. But everything good and wonderful that you ever did, it's waiting for you. It's there. It's your treasure house. And you keep walking and you look and there's another room. And you look in that room and you see something different. You see a book. In fact, there's more than one book. John said, there's God upon His throne and the books are open. And the dead are judged out of the things that are written in that book. You know, when you go to the funeral home, which you will at 3 o'clock this afternoon, there's always a book there. You sign the book. You say, I was here. John says, there's going to be a book there. And you're going to look inside that book for all the ages, and you're going to see the things that are recorded there about you. He says they will be judged by the things written in that book according to their deeds. Did you catch that? According to their deeds. Oh, the grace of God will be active. The grace will be overflowing, but there is still a performance, a sincerity that God looks for. And then John says, there's another book. This other book's called the Book of Life. And he said, if your name is not written there, you can't go to heaven. You can't be here. But you see, it's all very personal. And you're right there looking at it. And then you look for something else. You go by the courthouse. I guess they've got one. But you go by the courthouse and you say, why? Because you want to check on one thing. The Apostle Paul told the Philippian church in the 3rd chapter, he said, your citizenship is in heaven. You live here. Right now you're down here, but your citizenship is up there. So you're going to go by the courthouse metaphorically. And you're going to check through the records to see if your citizenship, your birth certificate into the kingdom, you're going to look to see if it's there. It's very personal. It's beautiful. It's grandiose. It's precious. But it's personal for each one of us. Daniel said in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, he said, we shall all lie down in the dust of death. All of us. He said, some are going to awaken to joy. Some are going to awaken to everlasting contempt. But everybody will awaken. And all the records will be opened.
And we'll find that ultimate place we've been looking for. And as we look at it and we begin to realize that the things that we did, the things that we said, the things that we were, the thoughts that we had, whether they were spoken or unspoken, it all gets in the record. And it's not like a court record down here where someone's transcribing what's taking place and they miss a word or two every now and then. No, every word. Every one of them is going to be there. And then you realize that from here to there, it's not such a giant step after all. But it is heaven. And it is different. Alfred Lord Tennyson thought about his life as a voyage. A journey. It was a voyage that ends with the passing out of this life and off of this shore, going to another shore. And he thought of it in the realm of a ship. A ship that would carry you there. And this ship, as it leaves this shore, perhaps it would cross over a bar out in the harbor, getting to the open sea. You and I, while we live here, we're getting ready for all of this. We are writing in our book, and we have been for a long time. We've been storing up the treasure. We've been realizing who we are and whom we serve. But heaven reaches down. It says it's more than that. It's more than you got to behave. It's more than you got to change. It's more than you got to be different. It's more than you can't be you. Heaven simply says you got to be one of God's children. And this is how children act. They do what the parent tells them to do. They listen to the parent. You love God. You love Jesus, His Son, and you realize what a marvelous service, what a marvelous sacrifice Jesus made for you on the cross. And you realize when He said, come follow me, He meant more than just believe a few things. He meant follow me. In the following, He says, you start the journey. You're baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. You come into contact with that atoning blood that He shed on the cross. And then with this changed heart and this changed life, you hear the things that say, keep on doing these things. Keep on following me as long as you live. Keep on trusting in the almighty grace, love, and power of God. And one day He said, you're going to launch from this shore. You're going to go to another. Tennyson put it this way. He said, sunset and evening star and one clear call for me. May there be no moaning of the bar when I put out to sea. But such a tide is moving seems asleep, too full for sound and foam. When that which drew from out the boundless deep turns again home. Twilight, evening bell, after that the dark. May there be no sadness of farewell when I embark. For though from out I've born of time and place, the flood may bear me far. I hope to see my pilot face to face when I have crossed the bar. This is a good life. God made it that way. He created things, and He looked down in His creation story, and He said, it's good. That's good. It's a good life.
But one of the things we forget, we get so enraptured with living in this world, we forget all the wonderful things we're going to see in heaven. And that's why I started out saying heaven is not too much with us. We forget it too often. We don't think about it nearly enough. We forget how heaven is going to be. And one of the things we forget, we say, I don't want to die. I don't want to leave all of these people that I love. But you don't realize how many people that you love are already there waiting for you. Waiting for you. And when you think of it that way, when you stop and realize that, you can sing the song, Heaven Holds All to Me. Would you stand? Would you sing?